Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
All right. Isaiah chapter 35, I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom, like the crocus it shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here's your God. He will come with vengeance. With terrible recompense, he will come to save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless shall sing with joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. A haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the most holy way. And the unclean shall not travel on it. But it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I just want to give you a few words today to kind of to think about this passage from Isaiah 35. This is a beautiful and amazing picture of God's redemption. And one of the main images that's used throughout Isaiah 35 is the picture of a desert being transformed into a place that's life-giving. In fact, it's like a 180 that happens there. And there's wonderful descriptive language that describes that. So it says, the desert rejoices. And it even, as it goes into verse 1, says, the desert rejoices, and then in verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly. There's a picture of after the rain and these little flowers kind of springing forth everywhere, that the desert is literally coming to life. So the desert rejoices, one of these descriptive words. And then it says, burning sand shall become a pool. And thirsty ground shall become... I mean, that's great creative and descriptive writing, isn't it? I mean, if you were being graded on that, that would be wonderful. Thirsty ground, you can picture it, right? And it becomes a pool. It becomes a spring of water. It's the exact opposite. It's a 180 degrees. In fact, even with the healing that happens, there's a little spot where it says the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer. The tongue of the speechless. Now, the tongue of the speechless, that means you can't talk, right? And you would think, well, what's the opposite of the tongue of the speechless? It would be that it would talk, right? No, it goes even further than that. They will sing with joy. The tongue of the speechless will sing with joy. And so it's really cool because it's not just that it's undone, but it's like there's this abundance and joyfulness and wonderful stuff that comes at it. It's a piece of absolute transformation. And so one of the main pictures in here is of a desert that's becoming a place of life, that's being transformed. There's a way of thinking about agriculture and gardening and whatnot, land management stuff called permaculture that I listen to teachings on and kind of think about a bit. It's kind of fascinating. It's a systemic approach to kind of using different things in nature and using the flows of energy force of nature and stuff to grow things better. There's a guy in permaculture named Jeff Lawton. He's pretty well known. He's done a project called Greening the Desert in the country of Jordan. He's got this desert spot where he's done some work to try and make stuff grow there. And so here's a picture in 2009 of one of the main sites. And so you can see they've planted a bunch of stuff there. And then here it is about 10 years later. There's like a little explosion of green there. Fascinating stuff, all of the stuff that he has to do, because in the desert, all sorts of challenges of stuff that you have to do. It's very difficult to keep water in a spot. It doesn't rain often, and when it does rain, the problem is it evaporates or it runs away. And so just keeping water in your landscape so that stuff can actually use it for more than half a second is a challenge. And so that's one of the things. Or having organic material instead of just like sand and stone, but having stuff that things can grow in is another challenge. And another challenge is providing shade. Like here in Michigan, in the growing season, when it's not raining, when the sun is coming down, and it gets kind of warm, like we get up into the 90s, and some days, I hear tell, it gets into triple digits in some years, right? Just every once in a while. So with us, when the warmth comes in, it helps the plants grow. They go like crazy because we got a lot of water and all that stuff. In the desert, it's so hot, scorching sun all the time. It's just they need some sort of a shelter to give the plants a break so it doesn't just get burned. So you have all of these challenges that he had to kind of keep in mind to do this. And I was thinking about that because deserts don't transform by themselves. Desert areas don't just reverse. They're not conducive to life growing there. And so this picture of a desert being transformed is a beautiful picture of hope that we have in Scripture today. And I bring this up because I wonder, are there areas in your life where it feels like there's a desert? Are there places in your life that feel lifeless? It might be relationships or a relationship or whatever it is. There might be a spot that just feels like it's kind of a desert area right now. Maybe it's, for whatever reason, this season is tough for you. Maybe just this year, maybe normally. Maybe December's a hard month for you. It's just you're having trouble kind of connecting with the joy of the time of year. Or maybe your relationship with God feels dry, feels kind of lifeless or distant. Are there places in your life where it feels like there's a desert? Because sometimes there's some areas where our hearts kind of feel like desert ground, where they're like dry and hard-packed and the water just runs off. It's tough to keep life-giving water there. Sometimes places of our lives can feel like a desert. And I got to just say, I love that. One of the things I really love about Scripture is that it hits us in those honest spots. I love that we can even ask this question of, do you have desert areas of your life? I mean, think of that, because sometimes we get the idea that at church you're supposed to just kind of pull your stuff together and be happy, clappy, and like fake it, you know, like almost as if God's like, well, I only want happy children, right? But it's really neat that in Scripture, it addresses those areas that can be hard areas of our lives. I mean, even with this, where it's talking about the transformation from a desert into a life-giving place, it's allowing space for us to think about, do we have those desert areas in our lives? Like, God's word comes to meet us in the midst of those dry spots. You don't have to have your life all together to receive the love of God. God is not looking down upon you and saying, well, once you get that stuff sorted out, then I can wrap my arms around you. And the word of God just even gives us this by addressing the real human situations that we have, where sometimes we have areas in our lives that are dry, that are desert-like, that are difficult. And then Scripture says, yeah, let's talk about that desert area, and that may tell you about the promise of God, that God turns desert areas into life-bearing places. And that's just a beautiful thing, that the Word of God meets us in those difficult spots. I mean, I think even in Advent, this is an Advent reading, of course. Another Advent reading that we have today is from Matthew 11, that's in the lectionary reading, and it's about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, as you know, he was out in the wilderness baptizing. He was out and the people go out to him and he was doing God's work. God meets us in the midst of the wilderness. By the way, the Matthew 11 reading is kind of interesting today because John the Baptist sends word to Jesus through his disciples and he says, look, are you the one we're waiting for or not? And Jesus, I don't know if you remember the answer Jesus sends back. He says, tell John that the blind are receiving sight, the deaf are hearing, and the lame are walking. What's Jesus saying? And why did he say that? Why are those two readings today? Well, remember in Isaiah 35 here, it talks about the blind getting sight, the deaf hearing, the lame leaping. Jesus is saying he's the fulfillment of this, of Isaiah 35. Really cool stuff. Anyway, that God meets us in the midst of this desert area. And so here we have, the dry land shall be glad. The dry land shall be glad. How does this transformation happen? How does the dry land become glad? Well, see, Isaiah 35:4. It says, say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. And it says, he will come and save you. Like that beautiful piece of that verse. He will come and save you. How do our lives get transformed? He will come to save you. How is it that that desert area of your heart will kind of turn into a spring of life-giving water? He will come and save you. How is it that your life gets turned around? He will come and save you. It is God who brings life to the lifeless. It's God who turns burning sands into pools of life-giving water. It's God who makes the dry land glad. It's God who does this. And that's who we depend on. That's who we lean upon. We just and we gather together and just confess our need. God, we need you to do this work in us. The longer I'm in ministry, the more I realize, and I knew this in my head. I know we need the power of God to work. Like, I've known that in my head. You know how you know stuff, but then you know stuff? That makes sense? Sometimes we know stuff in our head, but then to know it in our hearts. And the longer I'm in ministry, the longer I realize that, you know, we can work hard, try and be good people and try and help people out and try and give aid where we can here and there. But what we really need is a powerful move of God to transform lives. Like, we can get only so far on our own. But if we want to see real change happen, if we want to see people really being saved, we need a move of God to come and to transform people's hearts, to bring transformation. We need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to come into those dry and thirsty areas of our lives and our souls and to transform them so they're bubbling forth with life. He will come and save you. Like, that's what we need. We need God to come and save us. I was thinking of this sort of thing, thinking of desert areas being completely transformed. I couldn't help but to think of our prayer walk on Tuesday night. We decided to do a prayer walk down at the Meadows, not the trailer park. They're our neighbors. We love them. We want to share Jesus with them. And so we've been doing the stuff about praying for revival and awakening and stuff like that on Tuesday nights. So we gathered together, and the group that came, there was nine of us, and they were kind of wondering if I was really serious that we might do a prayer walk, because it was, I don't know if you remember Tuesday night, but it was 21 degrees, snowing and dark. They thought, are we really going to do this? Said, yeah, let's give it a shot. It's not raining. It's snowing, so that's better. And so we went down to the trailer park. We had two folks that did drive-by prayings, you know, because they weren't able to walk as far, so they drove by and prayed for people, and then we split into two groups, and we walked and we prayed. We walked and we prayed. And in the group that I was in, one of the folks in our group knew some of the folks in the park, and she was explaining, she was saying, she was telling us this and this is going on in this person's life, and we'd pray for that. And then here's some things going on in this person's life, and we'd pray for that. And it was this powerful reminder to me, like, people are dealing with some stuff. And just with these stories, it was a reminder to me that there's a lot of people who are just barely keeping their heads above water, you know? And, like, what can we do but pray for them? I mean, we can give them the little help we can here and there. There's only so much we can do, but, like, we need God to come down and transform some lives. We need God to get a hold of some situations and to bring some new life. Like, we need the power of God to come in and bring revival and bring to turn desert areas into oases. And we need this sort of transformation to happen. And it's as I think about that, you know, with our neighbors, you know, that there's people that are feeling in over their heads. I'm sure that's the case for our congregation as well. There's some of you that are feeling like, man, you're just barely making it. Some of you feeling like you're just barely keeping your heads above water. So we lean upon this promise today. He will come and save you. I mean, that is, after all, what the message of Christmas is all about. That he will come and save you. And so all we can really do is just throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, come and save us. Take care of us. Make this dry land glad. I mean, that's why this passage is so powerful, because there's this complete transformation. Areas where you couldn't keep life-giving water, that thirsty land is transformed into a spring of water. Tongues that can't sing, can't talk, not only start to talk, but they sing for joy. That's the sort of transformation that we need. He will come and save you. That's what we need. Lord Jesus Christ, come and save us. Come and transform our lives. Come and take those desert areas in our heart and make them burst with life. We need the power of God to make dry lands glad. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.